Now, let's get to Michael McCarthy. Covers sports and the media for Front Office Sports. I am a subscriber. The newsletter is great. And he just did five burning questions that about Greg Olsen or Tom Brady among who should be the number one analyst for Fox coverage of football. It's easy. I've heard Greg Olsen. I wouldn't change, but I guess contracts are contracts. Mr. McCarthy, how you doing?
I'm great. Hey, thanks for the invite.
So, first of all, what do you think of Olsen in that role?
I think Olsen has been a revelation. His first year, he was actually doing this as an active player.
Yeah.
And then he got the break of all breaks. After 20 years, Troy Aikman jumps to ESPN. So they elevate him to the number one team in 2022. Well, what does the guy do? He calls the most watched regular season game ever, then the most watched Super Bowl ever, and he was even better this season. So I think he's a fantastic analyst.
So what is his move? Brady is a smart guy, and I think he's got a great personality. So my guess is that Tom will, at the very least, be good. I don't know if he'll be as good as Olsen. But what is Olsen's play here?
Well, I think he's got several moves. I think the smartest move is to do nothing, to take the number two job and drop down and accept the cut in salary and, you know, in the demotion, because it is a demotion.
Yeah.
And how Brady does. I personally think Brady's going to be great. But look, there's been all sorts of can't-miss players who stunk on TV, including Brady's own idol, Joe Montana. So there's no guarantees. The other thing, too, is he's Tom Brady. You know, is he going to do this for 10 years? You know, or is he going to do it for 1 or 2 years and then go into the owner's box? So I think that's one option. But the second option is just as alluring, which is one of these other networks says, you know what, this Greg Olsen is so good, we'll give him our number one job. And then he jumps for more money.
So is there a possibility that NBC moves on from Chris Collinsworth?
I doubt it. Right now there's no openings. But, you know, Collinsworth's not getting any younger. He just turned 65. Romo's getting a lot of heat. He's no longer a flavor of the month. You know, he could always go off and play the senior PGA Tour. Kirk Herbstreit's contract at Amazon, Thursday Night Football, is coming up in a couple of years. And like I said, you know, who knows if Brady will even like TV. So I think right now Greg Olsen has more options pretty much than anybody in sports media.
This is not about Olsen or Brady. What do you make of Kevin Burkhardt as the number one football voice for Fox? You know, I mean, you may know this or not, but he was doing basically sideline reporting on SNY for Mets games like 4 years ago, 5 years ago. He was just a reporter, and all of a sudden he's the lead guy now.
America's a wonderful country, isn't it?
And he was selling cars not that long before that.
You're talking to a New York, New Jersey guy. He was selling cars on the Jersey Shore. It's great. I think one of the reasons why Burkhardt is doing so well is because he has such good chemistry with Olsen. They literally go back to Olsen's high school days in Patterson. What Kevin was calling his games back then. So one of my biggest questions, and I think this is a very underreported part of the story, is, okay, Brady's coming in and we know he's going to be number one, but how is he and Burkhardt going to get along? And how is Olsen going to do without Burkhardt?
Yeah, first of all, you blew me away. He called Olsen's high school games in New Jersey?
Yes.
That is hysterical.
These guys go back 20 years.
You'll develop a lot of chemistry. You could tell they do have great chemistry. Look, again, and you pointed it out, Tom Brady's got an incredible personality. I don't think he's going to do this unless he thinks he can do it well. But you're probably right. How long he wants to do it is another matter. Michael McCarthy, Front Office Sports, is joining us here on the Adam Gold Show. It is, by the way, pay cut from $10 million to $3 million. $10 million, by the way, is getting off cheap when it comes to lead NFL analyst. Troy Aikman's in the neighborhood of $16 or $17 million dollars annually. So let me ask you about what is it?
Eighteen and a half. 18.5 for Troy. 18 for Romo.
Wow. And what does Joe Buck get?
Fifteen.
Personally, I'm not sure these things should be public because there's no salary cap. We shouldn't really know these things, but it's fine that we do, I guess. I would not want anybody to know. All right, that just
Adam Brady is going to make more for Fox if he does the whole deal that he did his entire career on the field.
Wasn't it like 10 years, $325 million or something like that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's 10 years, $375 million.
Just 375. Oh, that is phenomenal. Michael McCarthy, Front Office Sports, is joining us here on the Adam Gold Show. So Stephen A. Smith, his contract is coming up. I found this by getting the Front Office Sports newsletter that people should get. When does that deal end? And right now he's like the fifth highest paid personality on ESPN behind Aikman and Buck, behind Greenberg and Pat McAfee. How does that sit with Stephen A?
Get this man the bag, for crying out loud. His contract is up in 15 months. At one time, he was number one at around $12 million. But in the last year, he's been superseded by Buck and Aikman and Pat McAfee. Now, Stephen A has played the good soldier about that. He said all the right things. But let me tell you, Stephen A. is the most competitive person I have ever met.
Right.
And he made it very, very clear to Clay Travis of Outkick that he wants to be the highest paid person in ESPN and that he deserves to be the highest paid person in ESPN. And if he isn't the highest paid person in ESPN, he can take his ball and go elsewhere. So that's going to be the biggest talent negotiation to watch over the next year.
All right, there's only really one other place he could go, theoretically, and that would be to Fox. Would Fox do that? And what did they do with Stephen A? How does that impact the greatest con man on television, Skip Bayless?
I really don't see him going to Fox for this reason. They don't have the NBA. You know, Stephen A is still inextricably bound to NBA. You know, it's his bread and butter. You know, even if you say hating the Cowboys is his bread and butter now, I think I don't think Fox is. I think it's much more likely that either he goes independent. You know, he sets up his own YouTube show, his YouTube empire, like McAfee did, or B, he goes into something else completely different, late night TV, entertainment, even politics.
All right. Well, sometimes. As Magic Johnson found out, sometimes you go into areas you don't belong. No matter how good you are at what you do, sometimes you go into areas where you don't belong. Stephen A's already waded into the political arena in certain issues, and it hadn't worked out for him.
And he actually guest hosted for Kimmel, and he wasn't bad on Late Night.
I did not see him guest host on Kimmel.
Yeah, it was pretty good. I mean, the one thing Stephen A. is not worried about is failing.
That's true. That is true.
He's willing to try anything.
And that is, there's an old phrase, dance like nobody's watching, right? So Stephen A. is not necessarily, he doesn't care about all of that. Look, what would ESPN do without him? Because I think they're ultimately going to pay him. What would they do without him?
Wow. One of the ballsiest things he's done is he brought in Shannon Sharp. They set up his own successor, right? He was like, if I leave tomorrow, here's the guy who can take the show for the next 10 years.
They basically traded. They just swapped. Whatever that show's called, Undisputed and First Take, they just swapped Shannon Sharp for Keyshawn Johnson.
Yeah. What do they do to replace him? He's irreplaceable. If they had to replace him, I would say they give Shannon Sharp First Take and they move up J.J. Redick and Richard Jefferson on the NBA side. That would be my guesses.
Yeah, Redick and R.J. are good, I think, really good together. Michael McCarthy, Front Office Sports. Final thing, and I don't know, since I haven't read a ton about it since it broke a few weeks ago, the Amazon, who is into the NFL and into sports in other ways, looks like it's going to essentially bail out Diamond Sports Group, which is the parent company of Bally Sports. And for those people listening in North Carolina, that's how we watch the Carolina Hurricanes. And depending on where you are in Charlotte or other parts, that's how you watch the Charlotte Hornets. And it's a regional sports network around the country, baseball, basketball, hockey. How long until Amazon takes over, if they do? And what is ultimate? What's it going to cost people? Like, I'm already an Amazon Prime member. What is it going to cost additionally, you think?
I don't know what it's going to cost additionally, or if it will cost additionally. I think first they got to figure out this whole Diamond thing. I think if Major League Baseball and Amazon had their druthers, they'd just get rid of Diamond
right, completely.
Where do they need the middleman in all of it? The company's bankrupt or heading that way.
Yeah.
So, Amazon would just prefer to do a deal directly with the league, exactly as it does with the NFL on Thursday Night Football. So if I had a guess, that would be my guess how it's going. In terms of prices, hey, do they ever go down?
No, they never do.
They never do. In my experience of covering sports TV, they only go up. Such as having to pay for a Peacock NFL playoff game this year.
I was already a Peacock subscriber, so I was okay with it. I understand for the people who weren't. But I'm also an Amazon Prime subscriber. But I don't even know because it's my wife's account, so I don't know what we pay per month. But I do know what we pay for the Bally app to watch it, because if you are a YouTube TV person, you don't get Bally. It's an additional $20 per month. I mean, I'm happy to save $20 a month and still get Hurricanes games. If that's the way we're going, man, I hope it happens soon.
That'd be great. That'd be absolutely great.
I could do something with $20 a month.
I always want to, come down on the side of consumer. Whatever makes it easier for the consumer is what gets my support. One thing I just want to say about this whole thing is, can we give it up for the old cable bundle? It wasn't so bad.
Here's the thing.
Streaming services now are probably paying three times as much as they used to.
Well, they keep adding streamings, right? So now you need this, you need that. A few years ago, Peacock wasn't a thing. Paramount Plus wasn't a thing. Now ESPN Plus has so much content. I mean, I'm a soccer fan, so there's tons of soccer on that as well. Now it costs almost as much as cable. Almost. Not quite. Almost. And satellite's a big ripoff, because the first year they give you, it's half price, and then they double it on you, and you're like, wait a second, I'm paying significantly more than I paid with cable.
Yeah. And what the streamers do is they get you with the one show. Like, I cover sports, so I have to have Amazon Prime Video and ESPN Plus. My son likes Succession, so he has to have Max.
Right.
My daughter likes Star Wars, so she has to have Disney. And then on and on and on. Next thing I know, I got seven of these things.
Yeah, I think we're limiting it to two. We have Peacock. We don't even have Paramount. We have Peacock and ESPN Plus. Oh, we have Netflix. That's three. We're limiting it to three. For all I know, we have five. Michael McCarthy, Front Office Sports. Check out the newsletter. It's informative always. Sir, I appreciate your time.
Oh, thank you for inviting us.
You got it.